Yeah, very good morning to you. I hope you're well. It's Friday, the 23rd of February, 2024. My name is Richie Allen. Hope all is peachy. Peachy is a good word, isn't it? Peachy. With you, as I've already said. Yes, another soaking for your BBG this morning in the local park. It's been bucketing it down again, I suppose. It could be worse. It could be freezing. And you could have frozen pavements, footpaths, but we don't, thankfully. It's just a bit of rain, and sure, the rain never hurt anybody, did it? A bit of rain never killed anybody, did it? Yeah, all right, let's look at the front pages of today's newspapers then. Today, I will begin with the Daily Telegraph, as always, beginning with the front pages. There's a photograph of a soldier on the front page of the Telegraph. I have the Russian soldiers in my sights, but no shells to fire at them. It's hilarious. We've had a series of newspaper stories this week and broadcast media stories about the poor Ukrainians and how they're running out of ammunition. This, of course, is, go on, we can say it together. You know what's coming next. Come on, together, on the count of 3, 2, 1, monumental bollocks. It's all about, you see, rows in the US Congress where Republicans are threatening to veto and block President Joe Biden's plan to send billions of more dollars to Ukraine to keep up this ridiculous war with Russia. And while that row is rumbling on, we're getting all of these stories about we're running out of weapons. We have no shells. We have no bullets to fight Putin. And if we lose to Putin, of course, he's going to rampage through Europe. More bollocks, he says, swearing like a trooper. Yeah, swearing like a pitman. Swearing like a, I don't know, sailor even, on a Friday morning. So it's nonsense, right? Please send more bullets and more weapons so that we can commit more young men and women to be slaughtered in this ridiculous conflict with Russia. Yeah, also on the front page of the Telegraph, Islamists are now in control, says Braverman, amid speaker row. So this is the former Home Secretary, Suella Braverman. Now, I talked about this extensively in a rather windy, long-winded, ranty monologue last night on the Richie Allen Show, which I didn't plan. This notion that the row, which erupted on Wednesday in the House of Commons, Wednesday had been designated Scottish National Party's Opposition Day, where the Scottish National Party, for the day, was able to propose debates and motions which would be discussed and then voted on, even though the votes meant nothing, really. You know, opposition parties cannot draft legislation, cannot change the law. But anyway, the Labour Party cacked it, didn't it? Because the Scottish National Party wanted a vote on condemning the collective punishment of the Palestinian people. And the leader of the Labour Party shit himself. We can't have that. I can't be seen to be accusing Israel of collectively punishing the Palestinian people. My God, they'll accuse me of anti-Semitism. And if we do vote on this, my backbenchers will embarrass me. My Labour backbenchers, many of them will vote with the SNPs. So Starmer ran to the office of Sir Lindsay Hoyle, the Speaker of the House of Commons, and said, please allow us put an amendment before we vote on the SNP motion. And this is where it all began. All of this nonsense on Wednesday. So ultimately what happened was the Israeli lobby won again. It's what happens day and night in Westminster and in DC. But amazingly, cretins, wenches, absolute mindless mother, I'm not going to swear again, whores, yes, cuckolds like Suella Braverman, completely enthralled to the Israeli lobby, owned lock, stock and barrel by the Israeli lobby in Westminster. They're trying to make it out that the MPs are scared of Islamists. I mean, it's hilarious. As I said on the programme last night, it's completely counterintuitive. Nothing is more monumental bollocks than the idea that MPs were scared of Islamists. Islamists have got nothing to do with it. They're terrified of the Israelis and the Israeli lobby, which is all powerful. Not only, as I said, not only in London, but also in DC and in Paris. And in many other capitals where people believe that their politicians are working for them. No, they're not. Not in any real sense. But that's right. Islamists are now in control. Piss off, Braverman, you scumbag. It's all you are. I'd hate to be that. Do you know that, dearest listener? You know, I live in Thornford. I live in an old council house. I'm very proud of it. And for the last few years, my wonderful missus has been doing it up, you know. She's been changing it and making it nice in her own style with her big, mad French head in her. And it's grand, you know. It's big enough for two people and two dogs. And we have a nice little garden and we have nice neighbours. The point I'm making is we don't have very much. She's got a good job. She works in finance for a very well-known company. But we're not rolling in money or anything like it, okay? But you know, I couldn't do what those whores do in politics across the world. I couldn't name my price. I couldn't sell myself out and sell out the people who I share my life with, the neighbours who I share my life with. I couldn't sell them out to a rabidly insane Zionist lobby. I couldn't do it. Could you? Could you do it to have a much bigger house, to have a much bigger car, for your children to go to posh schools? Could you do that? Could you sell out your fellow man? Could you sell yourself? Could you prostitute yourself as they do? I couldn't. I doubt you could either. Maybe we're special, maybe. I don't know. So that was the Telegraph. The Metro. 2 years of lunacy. The Metro newspaper is marking on its front page 2 years of the Ukraine war. Yes, it's lunacy. It's absolute lunacy. And again, as I said on the Richie Allen show yesterday, the Secretary of State for Defence, Grant Shapps, stood in the Commons yesterday and talked about how the UK was going to send billions more pounds to the Ukraine, to Ukraine, and drones and anti-tank missiles, billions. And sitting across from them, sitting across, were Labour shadow ministers. And they were nodding along sagely, yes, nodding along. Where's the fucking opposition? I asked on the Richie Allen show last night. Where is the opposition? Wouldn't it be nice to have some opposition? Actually, Secretary of State for Defence, are you off your fucking tits? Are you out of your mind? Shouldn't we be dragging Putin and Zelensky to, I don't know, somewhere in Switzerland, maybe Zurich, to sit them down and to say, we've had enough of this shit, lads. Everybody has. Let's figure out now. Vlad's going to get a little bit of territory here. You, ex-comedian, puppet, lunatic, idiot, you're going to go back to Kiev and you're going to like it. You're going to like it. You're going to lump it. This is how it's going to be. It's all going to end. We've had enough of young men and women being blown to bits in eastern Ukraine. We've had enough of it now. Okay? So it's going to stop. All of that nonsense is going to stop. And when we get done with you, we're going to tell the same to that idiot in Tel Aviv. But no, the Labour people, they sit there nodding along sagely. Yes, yes, keep sending money and weapons for more mass destruction and bodies blown to pieces. 2 years of lunacy, headline on the front page of the Metro. The I, headline, new Brexit deal on food and cars could be agreed with Labour, say EU officials. So, of course, this is going to get a lot of coverage today. Okay, the I paper focusing on the UK's relationship with the European Union. The I paper claims EU officials have said that a new Brexit deal could be done with Labour. Of course, assuming that Labour will form the next government here in the UK, it probably will. Labour also wants to forge a closer relationship with the EU, according to the I. So there you are. This will be grist to the mill of the Tories today, of course. There'll be murders about this, no doubt, particularly on the Conservative media. The Guardian, seeing the same GP each visit cuts workloads and improves health. Well, duh. Obviously, if people living in communities have a GP and they go and see the same woman, the same man, every time they need to see a doctor, and they form a relationship with that person who comes to understand them, the doctor who gets to know them and their family, you know, to form a much better picture of their needs and what sort of treatment they might need. That familiarity when you go and see a doctor. How's Michael? Asher, Michael's all right, you know. And Jenny, you were telling me last time I saw you, Jenny had picked up the violin. How's she getting on? She's doing well, Doc. Thanks very much. Yeah. But no, it isn't the case. I know this myself. I am signed up to a GP surgery here in Salford. I never go anywhere near the place. If I need any help, I'll go private. As expensive as it is, because of that very thing. You never know from one month to the next or one visit to the next who you're going to bloody well see. It's insane. And then you've only got 5 to 10 minutes. GPs are told that consultations must be no longer than 10 minutes. They can't wait to get you out the door. Sit down, and while you're sitting down, they're already typing you up a prescription. That is a fact. That's not medicine. That's insanity. That's The Guardian. The Guardian is also has a horrible photograph on the front page of a bereaved family in a town called Beitolim, I think it is. I'll tell you more about this in a minute. Just about the IDF, the Israeli Defence Forces, shooting young Palestinian children in the head, executing them. Yes, that's going on too, as we speak even. It's amazing to think about it. I'm sitting here in a warm studio in Salford. I don't know where you are, but I'm presuming it's warm. I'm presuming you can walk upstairs or downstairs and put the kettle on, have a cup of tea, maybe have a couple of chocolate digestives maybe before you head out to work or do whatever it is you do. Children in Gaza are being butchered as we speak. Yeah, with the blessing and the assistance of the UK government. The Daily Mail. Outrage as genocide message is beamed on Big Ben. This is garbage. We'll talk about this in a minute. Every newspaper is running a story about this today. While this crap carry-on was going on in the House of Commons on Wednesday, these arguments about the wording of, you know, the SNP's motion to criticise Israel. While all this was going on, pro-Palestinian protesters were able to beam the From the River to the Sea message onto the side of the Big Ben clock. Oh dear, what will we do? We'll talk about it briefly in a minute. The Daily Express front page. Just why didn't police stop anti-Semitic slur beamed on Big Ben? Again, people, I don't want to fearmonger. I hate it. I hate the negative stuff, I really do. But these are terrifying times. We live in the most terrifying times. This is fascism writ large, where they can tell you that by saying something, by repeating a phrase like from the river to the sea, that this is anti-Semitism, that this is somehow a call for the genocide of the people of Israel, which it isn't, of course. It is not, it never was, and it never will be. But that they can say it is, and that something needs to be done about those who say it. They're demanding to know why the police didn't arrest the people for saying from the river to the sea, Palestine will be free. Imagine they're calling for people to be arrested for saying that. Let's say it loud, let's say it proud. From the river to the sea, Palestine will be free. Ironically, it's bollocks. Palestine will never be free. Not as long as I'm alive. Or as long as you're alive. But some activists managed to, very cleverly, I thought, project this slogan, from the river to the sea, on the side of Big Ben. And conservatives are losing their excrement about it. They're losing their shit. Oh, something needs to be done. We'll briefly talk about it in a moment. The Times. Fake tears and tricks of the charity fundraisers. This is a cautionary tale. A cautionary tale, really. It's a bit of public service journalism in the Times today. Well, it's about the fundraiser watchdog, the charity watchdog, has launched into an inquiry, or has launched an inquiry, into door-to-door pressure selling techniques used by charities, particularly a children's charity, following an investigation by the Times newspaper. So you might want to read that or share it with somebody who might be a little bit older and a little bit more gullible when it comes to answering the door and being confronted by charities. We're not looking for any credit here, but the Future Misses and myself, we do donate monthly to a couple of charities. One of them is a food bank, another one is an animal charity. It's just a few quid, just what we can afford. We do head into Manchester fairly regularly, and we offer lunch where we can and food and sandwiches to people who might be sleeping rough. Again, we don't want any bloody credit for that. It's called being a human being. Most of us do it. When I open the door to the charity people, I generally tell them politely, because they're only doing a job, but to beat it, basically. No, I'm not interested. And the reason for this is some of these charities that are ever present with their selling techniques and, you know, often they have CEOs and COOs and CFOs that are earning 6-7 figure salaries. And I think there's something very wrong there. isn't there? But anyway, the Times, the selling techniques used by door-to-door charity people. Financial Times runs with the stock market story on the front page. I couldn't give a damn. The Daily Mirror, My Regrets, is the headline on page one. And it's about an OAP who's been running a cocaine empire. Well, not a cocaine empire. He's been working as a mule, a smuggling cocaine on a cruise ship. Think of Clint Eastwood. Didn't Clint Eastwood make a film in recent years where he played a very senior citizen, as Clint is, who needs a few quid and decides to drive drugs across the Mexican border and back, or money and drugs and what have you. Yeah, so there's a real life story. £1 million OAP cocaine mule. My Regrets. He's out on day release now, the chap. Very good. Good man. And the Daily Star headline is Rough Justice. Rough Justice. Couple of dog-related stories on the front page of the Star. One of them is about US President Joe Biden's dog, Commander, which has bitten Secret Service agents 24 times in 9 months. My type of dog. The Sun, Married Ellie and Her Surf Hunk, is the headline. Ellie Goulding, the singer, is photographed emerging from the waves on some beach somewhere. Why the fuck would the Sun want to go with that? Anyway, those were the front pages of the UK daily newspapers. Shall we have a squint inside the papers and see what is making the news today? So let's go with the Times. It's been on the front page of a few papers. MPs condemn from the river to the sea projection on Parliament. Oh, boo fucking who. An investigation has been launched, apparently, after activists beamed from the river to the sea onto the Elizabeth Tower, which houses Big Ben, on Wednesday. The Metropolitan Police assessed the incident and found it did not constitute an offence. Exactly. How could it be an offence to project a slogan onto Parliament? Well, Andrew Percy, another Zionist fucking whore, a conservative backbencher completely owned by the Israeli lobby, he screamed and moaned and bitched about it yesterday in the House of Commons, calling it genocidal. It's genocidal. No, it isn't. No, it isn't. It's people who believe that Palestine should be free. People who believe that Israel has no right to exist. Guess what, Andrew Percy, you fuckwit? I have a human right to believe what I want to believe. And if I do not believe that Israel has any right to exist, and by the way, I do not believe that Israel has any right to exist. But you know what? Tough shit, Paddy. I've had Zionists on my shows over the years, going way back. They don't come on anymore. And they gleefully used to say to me, tough shit, Paddy. Yes, absolutely. Whether I like it or not, Israel does exist. How Israel came to be, you know, the apartheid, the murders, the displacement of the Palestinians, the stealing of the land, I don't like it. I don't think Israel has any right to exist, but tough shit, Paddy, it does. Live with it. Fair enough. Okay, I can take that. But I get to have my opinion. I get to say that which I believe to be true. And so do thousands and thousands and maybe hundreds of thousands of people in this country. They believe that the land belongs to Palestine and to the Palestinians. So they say Palestine will be free. Now, it'll never be free. But they want to criminalise this, you see. And these idiots in Parliament, and it's cross-party, all of them. Nobody has any courage to stand up and say, listen, people should be allowed to say and think what they like in a democracy. People should be allowed to think and to say what it is they believe in a democracy without fear of retaliation by the state. I mean, it's absolutely preposterous, isn't it? The notion that a British citizen should not be allowed to criticise a foreign government. Wow. But that's where we are now. It is, as I said earlier on, terrifying. And again, not a peep from a single MP anywhere in the House. You know what I would do if somebody made me God for the day? If somebody said, Richie, you can be King Solomon for the day, and what you get, what you say must go thereafter. You know what I would say to try and bring people out of the slumber they've been living in for decades and centuries, the British people, to try and shine some light of understanding on them, to give them some understanding of how the world really works. I would say from here on in, the political parties of the UK must change their names forevermore. And here are your names. From now on in, the Conservative Party will be known as the More of the Same Party. Forevermore. You can never change it back. The Labour Party will, from this day forward, be known as the Same Old Bollocks Party. And the Liberal Democrats will be known as the Nothing New Here Party. They're all the fucking same, and they always have been. The Greens can call themselves the Greens. Who cares about the Greens? The Same Old Bollocks Party, yes. The Daily Star, this is interesting, inside the Star. I'm a serial cheater. I want Musk's Neuralink brain chip to stop me being unfaithful. And this is a story basically about a tweet which went viral, where a man claims that he has tried everything to stop cheating on his wife. Everything. He's done it all. Therapy, everything. Aversion therapy. Not working. He's still a cheating bastard. So he wants Elon Musk's Neuralink brain chip to be implanted on his brain in order to change his behaviour. Now, this is really... You think about this, right? Predictive programming. It's hilarious. So The Daily Star is running this story as a bit of fun. It's kind of like an "and finally" story on the broadcast news, right? But think about it. Just the idea, they're putting it out there as an idea. I cannot change my behaviour. I've had everything. Everything, but I'm still cheating on my wife. Maybe I should have Elon's brain chip planted and that might change my behaviour. It's out there, isn't it, this idea? And I think, yes, maybe we'll be hearing a bit more of that in the coming years. You know, people suffering with depression or people suffering with, any ailment, any mental disability or problem. Yeah, we've got the solution. We'll plant a chip on your brain and we'll be able to change the way you think, how you see yourself and how you see the world, maybe. Interesting story in the Telegraph about the European Union red tape and how EU rules, many thousands of them, are still on the statute books here in the UK, and that really the UK has never really properly left the European Union. And it's about swings. You know, you go to the park and you put your child on a swing and all of that. And it talks about beer. That's beer as in a pint of beer. But beer is also a village in Devon. Beer, the village of Beer, must be lovely, in Devon. For generations, they've enjoyed playing on the swings at a park built to celebrate Queen Victoria's Diamond Jubilee. But the park is being replaced with a pirate-themed play area with a slide and a ship-themed climbing frame as part of a £500,000 taxpayer-funded revamp of 5 playgrounds in the region. But the playgrounds will not have swings because of EU standards retained in the UK after Brexit. More than 4,000 laws, EU laws, were copied and pasted onto British law books, which made it easy for officials. It prevented them from having to write thousands of new laws to replace those made over 47 years of EU membership. Now, I know what you're going to say. You're going to say, Baldy, many of those laws will probably be common sense laws and it's no big deal. Yes, of course, you're right. Many of them will be. But many of them will be ridiculous health and safety laws, like the one that is preventing children from having access to swings in Devon. Just a thought, it's an interesting story. I have banged on for years, since 2016 even, that the UK never really left the EU, and I stand by my assertion. That is in the Telegraph. The Guardian. This is a horrendous story. I don't mean to depress you on Friday. I don't, but I'm going to read it anyway. You know, imagine that Andrew Percy, that little scumbag, Tory, owned lock, stock by the Zionist lobby, crying about people projecting from the river to the sea on the side of Big Ben. I wonder what he would say, Andrew Percy, to the family of Nihal Abu Ayash. Do you know who Nihal Abu Ayash is? Well, he is no longer. He's dead now. He was wearing, this has been verified now, right? This, everybody admits this. Nobody disputes it, right? Just in case. This isn't conjecture. He was wearing his football kit, little 16-year-old lad, carrying his school bag, and the Israeli Defence Forces blew his head off in the West Bank town of Beit Umar. an agricultural town. They shot him in the leg, and as he tried to stand up, his head was blown off. And this is not just according to his family. This is according to human rights workers in the region who witnessed the murder, including Defence for Children International, by the way. He becomes the 100th Palestinian child to be killed in the West Bank. In the West Bank, 100 since October 7th. Of course, elsewhere, the Israelis have murdered about 15,000 children. Just think about that. If you switch on BBC Sport over the weekend, or Sky or TNT Sport, you might see rugby league, you might see some rugby union. And many rugby union stadiums, rugby league, you know, there'd be 10, 12, maybe 13, 14,000 spectators. Look at it and imagine every one of them is a child. That's how many children have been killed by Israel. This poor little lad, they destroyed him. You know how bad this has been in the last couple of days? They're terrified for his mother's life because she stopped eating. She's wasting away to nothing and has refused to speak since it happened. Can you imagine it, right? I mean, we report on this and The Guardian reports on it and, you know, we talk about it. But it's almost unimaginable because we've never experienced anything like it. We go about our business, in my case, in Salford and Swinton and Manchester and Eccles. Can't imagine it. Cannot imagine soldiers patrolling and driving tanks down my streets and shooting at the children of Salford. I can't imagine it. So try and imagine it. What it would be like to learn that the little boy that went out the front door a few minutes ago in his school, in his football uniform, in his little jersey and his little shorts, had his head blown off his shoulders deliberately by an IDF soldier. Imagine what it would do to you. The boy's mother is not eating and is wasting away and is going to die probably because of what happened. But nobody gives a fuck, really. Andrew Percy and Suella Braverman, they want you to believe that Islamists are running amok in the UK. Amazing, isn't it, really, what's going on? 47, his mother, Hanan is her name, unable to speak, unable to eat, is wasting away to nothing. Yeah. His 13-year-old brother has developed a stammer. He can't speak either. And the father has refused to leave the family home. These are actually real people, you know. They're not cardboard cutouts. Yeah, they might look a bit different. Their skin's a different colour, but they're real people. Imagine it happened to you or to me. Yeah, it's the full story's in The Guardian. You can read it online for free, theguardian.com/UK. The Mail. BBC, too woke for working class viewers. A poll. Another fucking poll. This one, conducted by Public First think tank, has found that the people of the UK are getting tired of the BBC. They think that the BBC is obsessed with political correctness. And according to the poll, viewers are switching their allegiances to rivals like GB News and Talk TV. 2,000 people surveyed. Half of them think the quality of BBC News has declined and become too politically correct. The number rises to 71%. Among Leave voters, people who voted to leave the European Union. So people getting tired of the BBC, apparently. Should we be surprised by this? Yes, no, probably not. Let's leave that one. Inside the Mirror, here's a story. Divorce at lowest rate in over 50 years as cost of living crisis makes it too expensive. This is kind of funny because the Mirror story quotes two lawyers who are fed up because business isn't booming. Divorce rates are down. They're down big time because of the cost of living crisis. Crisis making it too expensive for couples to say, you know what, we're getting a divorce. They quote Katie O'Callaghan at Boodle Hatfield Law Firm and Sarah Jane Boone at Charles Russell Charles Russell Speechleys. They said a significant jump in divorce applications had been expected as people become poorer, but they're finding the opposite. No, we thought we'd be absolutely swimming in cash as the cost of living crisis put, you know, broke couples, sent them to the brink. But no, the opposite is true. They're staying together because they've got no fucking money for a divorce. Mad times we live in. And I'm going to finish with this. It's Inside the Sun. I'm going to finish with it because I have speculated on the Richie Allen radio show that Joe Biden will not contest the presidential election in November in the US. I've speculated that. I'm not the only one to speculate it, but I've opined that he might not make it. Son, geriatric US President Joe Biden could be axed as late as August, under 3 months before the election. The story, I won't bore you with it, it just goes on to talk about Biden stumbling and mumbling and bumbling and falling asleep and, you know, gazing off into the distance and all of that. He's basically fucked, isn't he, Biden? No two ways about it. The Sun says the party, the Democratic Party, will gather in August, in Chicago, on August 19th, to formally nominate their candidate. No viable challenger has yet to put their hat in the ring, but the Sun claims that Vice President Kamala Harris is dropping hints that she might be ready to throw her hat into the ring. They also talk a little bit about Michelle Obama. Gavin Newsom, Gretchen Whitmer from Michigan, they say might be possible replacements for Biden. The bookies say there is a growing market in D.C. Excuse me, a D.C. even for Michelle Obama. Those were the papers for Friday, the 23rd of February 2024. And I've been Richie Allen. Thank you for listening. Have a fantastic weekend. Look after yourselves and one another. If you'd like to hear me again before the weekend is out, you saddo, I'll be presenting Sunday Morning Melodies at 10 o'clock UK time this coming Sunday from Salford. That's at 10 a.m. on the usual channels. Have a great weekend then. Bye now.